Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
Take your Bibles and turn to Isaiah 9, and let's start in verse 2. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. You have multiplied the nation and increased its joy. They rejoice before you according to the joy of the harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For you have broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every warrior's sandal from the noisy battle and garments rolled in blood will be used for burning and fuel of fire. Yikes. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the government or the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even for forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Wow. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Oh, I love how I love your word. Lord, it's a lamp unto our feet. It's a light upon our path. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would give me an unction to be able to communicate that which you have put upon my heart today. God, that it would be an encouragement to your people, that it would be like an arrow in the hearts of the king's enemies. Lord, I pray today that you would touch your people. Come on, just put your hand on your heart this morning and ask the Lord to touch you. Lord, we pray this morning that you would touch our hearts, that you would open up our ears, open up our eyes, that we would see wonderful things out of your word, even as it says in Isaiah 19. Show us truth today as we read your word, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Well, we have been living in quite a time. And over the last century, I would say in America, even over just the last 5 years, you know, I'm 56, now you know the truth. We have seen some of the most incredible geopolitical unrest all across the earth. We've seen plagues, wars, rumors of wars, just tsunamis, tidal wakes, it's the birth pangs preparing for the coming of Jesus again. In fact, today is the 84th anniversary of Pearl Harbor. Can you imagine if somebody got up while the fires were still burning, while people were still being rescued out of those boats? It took time for them to try to rescue those soldiers out of those boats, so those submarines in the harbors, those tankers and all that stuff, not submarines, but those big boats, aircraft carriers and things like that, took time. Can you imagine if somebody got up and just said, hey, there's joy coming, there's peace coming, there's hope coming? People would have looked at them like, dude, you've lost your mind. Maybe even been angry with them. Can you imagine that? That would be crazy. Well, when you look back to the time of Isaiah, in about the 720 BC, it was a time that was marked by war, was marked by oppression, political and economic oppression. It was a time of great destruction. The northern kingdom of Israel had been conquered and dispersed, gone into exile. And right before the beginning of that decade, Damascus, Israel's main ally against the Assyrians, was defeated and destroyed, and they were captured, and the Syrian kingdom dissolved, and they were made a province of Assyria. And the kingdom of Israel was made a vassal and forced to pay a high yearly tribute to Assyria. And Isaiah, if you read the book of Isaiah, you see that his ministry, his prophetic ministry, spans over the time period of about four or five different kings. And he prophesies here in this chapter to King Hezekiah, who in a time of hopelessness and despair, Isaiah can see the impending doom of the Assyrian army coming against the southern tribe of Israel, Judah and Benjamin. He's looking at this, and in the middle of this thing, in the middle of all this stuff that's about to happen, more destruction, more lives lost, exile, and the end of the kingdom, Isaiah prophesies this prophecy. I can't imagine what that must have sounded like. He announces that where there's presently doom, destruction, distress, there's going to come a time where there's going to be joy and peace and happiness and restoration. All of the kings in the Davidic line had failed. King David, after him, subsequent kings, the kingdom got ripped apart because of sin and brokenness, the brokenness of humankind. And then Hezekiah becomes a king. And Hezekiah, some scholars believe that Hezekiah was actually very close to Isaiah. In fact, like a star pupil of his. And they were very, very close. And even Hezekiah, Isaiah had hope in Hezekiah, but even Hezekiah failed because he is human. He's a human being. And so Isaiah was looking forward to a king who would be like King David, who was radical and believed and would bring, had radical faith to save Israel from the Assyrian threat. And this is the king that Isaiah prophesies about in Isaiah 9, verses 1 through 7, this beautiful poem. The promised Messiah. The Old Testament prepared the Jewish world to receive the Messiah all the way back, of course, in Genesis 3, talks about God's plan to deal with the sin problem and bring and restore his people to himself. And my Isaiah, did you know that probably you might know that there are over 300 prophecies in the Old Testament about Jesus. They're all fulfilled. They all get fulfilled. It's fascinating. And Isaiah specifically talks about the Messiah in Isaiah 7:14. Isaiah 53 talks about the suffering servant. He prophesies that he was going to be the savior of the world that would save people from their sin. And also Matthew, of course, in his gospel, quotes Isaiah 7:14. He makes reference there. And these verses 1 through 7 of Isaiah 9, portray a beautiful definition of this Messiah. And so we're going to look at that right now. Jesus was God's plan. The Messiah was God's plan all along. It was his plan to bring Jesus to suffer, to die, and be resurrected again so we could have life for every single person on the earth. And you see that is God's eternal plan. You can see his eternal plan for mankind, which is right here in these verses. The Messiah is fully God and fully man. He's God come in the flesh, living on the earth, fully God and fully man. He limits himself to the human experience, goes through what we go through. He understands what we've gone through, and I'm so grateful for that. Well, let's look, because in this text here, you can see that he meets every single human need. Every need. You might just have to think about that for a while. Jesus meets every human need. Everyone. There's not one that he doesn't meet. And the first thing, starting in verse 6, it says, the government, our son has been given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. This speaks of protection and justice. Though earthly structures may fail, and they will, there is an eternal kingdom. There's a government that's on the shoulders of Jesus that we can trust in fully all the time and have peace knowing that it's there. The eternal government, the everlasting government that belongs to Jesus. And God will bring forth justice. God says, don't try to get justice. Vengeance is mine. Wait, let the Lord deal with it, because every single person throughout all of history, and even here now today, are going to stand before God and give an account for every single thing that's been done, every word that's been spoken. You don't have to worry about getting vengeance. You don't have to worry when things seem so wrong. strong. Yes, we're to fight against things for sure. We're supposed to stand up. But one day, everything will be laid bare before God, and he will make every wrong thing right. We can find comfort in the divine, steadfast, eternal kingship of Jesus Christ. Secondly, this passage speaks of the Messiah being wonderful, and that speaks of joy. He meets our need. He gives us joy. One of the marks of the Christian is joy, right? It's not happiness. Happiness depends on circumstances and happenings, but joy is something different. Joy in the biblical context is a profound, abiding sense of happiness and contentment rooted in spiritual reality rather than in temporal circumstances. It's a fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22, and it's associated often with the presence and favor of God. I'm grateful for the favor of God. Can you see the hand, God's faithful favor and hand upon your life? He's so faithful. And Peter talks about having joy unspeakable. Jesus said in John 15:11, "These things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you and your joy may be full. Biblical joy is enduring. It's enduring, and you can experience it even through when you're going through trials. You're going through difficulties. You can have a joy knowing that God is in control. And because Jesus is with us, we can have peace. We can make it. The joy of the Lord is our strength. The counselor speaks of his wisdom, that he's the revealer of God's will. One of our greatest needs, well, I don't know, maybe not yours, mine is that I need to know stuff. I need to know what to do. Anybody want to know what to do? I mean, do you ever just like, I don't know what to do? You might think that you have it all together and you know all the time what to do. Well, I'll tell you what, there's only one that really knows everything that we should be doing, and it's God. And we've got to tune our voice, tune our ear to hear his word, to hear his will, and to know. And the Bible says that in Christ are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, and that if you need wisdom, anybody need wisdom in here? I need some wisdom. I need wisdom. And you don't have to have the earthly wisdom that comes from somebody else, but it's the wisdom that comes from the throne, not earthly wisdom. If we bring our decisions before the Lord, he will lead us. He will guide us. We are his sheep. We know and hear his voice. Lord, I pray, Lord, God, would you help us to be a people? Come on, just lay hands on your own heart and your own mind. Lord, help us to be a people that can hear and know your voice. Let tune our ears to hear your voice so that we can have wisdom and the knowledge that we need to do all that you've called us to do. The mighty God speaks of the power to be transformed. His transforming power and power to face every single situation that we might stand before every situation. He can heal us. His power heals us this morning. I believe people got healed up here. He helps us. We have the divine helper, the divine comforter, the Holy Ghost who helps us, right? We're never alone. He helps us in our marriage. He helps us raise children. Oh, Jesus, help me. And he gives us power to live for him. We don't have to white knuckle it through life trying to do things on our own. I'm so grateful for the power of God. So grateful. I don't have to try to figure it out on my own. I can be baptized with his power. We have his power that helps us to live, to overcome the devil, to give us power to witness, right? It's a gift that God's given us. He gives us his power. And we can be changed. We don't have to... Excuse me, let me make it personal. I don't have to be the jerk that I once was, right? I can be changed and transformed. I'm so thankful for that. He gives us power by the Holy Spirit. The Everlasting Father speaks of becoming a part of God's family. All of us, every person can be adopted into his family. He didn't just do it for the Jews. He did it for us too, the Gentiles, the people that were not originally his people, but now we've all been grafted in, and I'm so grateful. You know, you may have experienced difficulty growing up. I have. My parents did the best they could, and if you're watching, Mom, I appreciate you so much, but nobody's got a perfect family. Every family's dysfunctional. Everybody's dysfunctional. I got some order of dysfunction. right? But we can have, even in the body of Christ, in God's family, there's dysfunction. But God, we are adopted into a family nonetheless. It's great. The Prince of Peace speaks of being in right relationship with God and with people and with others. God's peace sustains us, and it's a peace that's unshakable. And beyond the peace that we experience with God, of course, we have peace dealing with the different tumultuous world today in the face of COVID. Do you guys remember when that just first came out? I know there's some people that knew, you know, that it was, well, I won't get all into that, but some people knew it was like a scamdemic. I didn't know about that. And I would, when it first came out, I was like rebuking fear. I'm not going to be a fearful person. I was telling myself, but then they started saying hundreds of millions of people are going to die, like the bird flu way back in the, you know, early 1900s. And that was such a spirit of fear. But in the middle of that, there was this peace of God that just came. In the middle of facing terrifying circumstances, there's this peace that comes. And I'm so grateful for that peace. God promises also that when Jesus returns to earth, he's going to bring complete and total peace to the world. There'll be no more fighting. The lion will lay down with the lamb. You can read about all that in the book of Revelation. And knowing that God will bring peace on earth someday gives us a great reason to hope for the future. We can have hope for the future. And the day is coming, like I said, that Jesus is going to return. And he's going to bring peace on earth that's going to last forever. And it'll be a great time. What an amazing day that's going to be. He's going to reign on David's throne and over, and his kingdom speaks of meeting the greatest need of all. Lastly, he's going to reign on David's throne, and the greatest need of all that we have as humans is to be submitted to his leadership in our lives, his rulership, to his rule and reign in our lives. You know, I always had this thought about when you hear the word submit, every time I hear it still, there's something in me that just goes, I hate that word. It sounds like, you're a dog, submit, get down there. You know, does anybody else ever feel that? I don't know, I must need healing. Something in, when I hear that word submit, I just want to rise up and go, no. Excuse me, Lord, heal me, my rebellious heart. But no, I mean, that's not what that means. The submitting to God's will, submitting to his leadership in our lives is an act of humbling ourselves and acknowledging that there's somebody that knows something greater and bigger and better than we do. Father knows best, right? Father knows best. It's a yielding of our will. It's a yielding of our life, aligning to his will, saying, God, your kingdom come in my life. Lord, let your will be done in my life. It's the very thing that Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane as he looked to what was about to happen on the cross. He had to yield his will. And he spoke and he said, God, if this cup can pass, if you can do it another way, let it be done. But if not, I'm going to endure the cross. I will submit my will. And he was an example to us that we can do that. We're not dying on the cross, although we should die daily, right? Crucifying our flesh. Jesus died physically on the cross. We can die to our flesh here on earth. Can I get an amen? Oh, great. Don't you love it when you just close your entire notes on the iPad? Hallelujah. Okay, great. It's a walking with an understanding and a trust that God is really in control. He's faithful, he's trustworthy, he's fully, fully faithful and fully trustworthy, and you can trust him with your future. And I don't know about you, but that gives me peace, that gives me security, and I'm so grateful. The zeal of the Lord speaks of God's desire to intervene on our behalf. Minister Toby, would you come on up? The zeal of the Lord is God's divine jealousy with which he operates to protect and restore his people. In Nahum 1, it says, the Lord is a jealous and avenging God. And in the original language there, that adjective jealous, it means zealous, zealous, and fiercely protective. That's what jealous means. Somebody also shared with me in the NLT that it means passionate commitment. God has a passionate commitment to make all these things happen. And the Bible uses this adjective exclusively in Exodus 34 to describe God's jealousy, that his actual name means jealousy. It means to be jealous. But it's not the kind of jealousy that you and I might think of in our earthly way. Like, I'm jealous of that person. They have something I don't have. To be jealous that, oh, yeah, you know, you looked at that person. Don't look at that person, or be intimidated or threatened by people. It's not that kind of jealousy. It's a passionate commitment to deal with everything that separates us from God, to deal with all the works of the devil that have entered the world because of the fall of mankind, that cause us all to go astray and each to our own way. It's his passion and jealousy as our creator and our redeemer. He's focused on caring and protecting for us and, when necessary, avenging himself on the enemies of his people. God will avenge you. He will bring justice. He's zealous, passionate commitment to make sure. When you're wondering about God's thoughts about you, he's zealous. He has a passionate commitment about you. Remember that. And as I begin to close, light has come in the dark, right? Light has come. It's the name of our series. And Jesus came, Jesus, the light of the world. He entered time and space into a spiritually dark world. He was fully God, fully man, so he could bring salvation and deliver his people way back then from the hand of the oppressor. They were crying out to him, God, for that. It was a time in history when God's people were oppressed under the yoke of tyranny of Rome. But today, people are still crying out under the hand of the oppressor, Satan, under the tyranny of all the works of darkness. And Jesus came as a light. He came as the promised son that's been given to enter. He entered darkness. He came to destroy the works of the devil. And I'm so grateful. He was, he is, and he will always be the promise in the dark for every single person. Today, he can enter the dark areas of your life. He can enter the darkest places of your heart, the difficulty, not just us here who may know him, but all the people out there. He's the promise in the dark. He brings life. He brings resurrection life and meets every need that we have. Let's stand to our feet all over this place. Let's just lift our voices for a moment and just thank God. I'm so grateful. I am so grateful for the mercy of God. I'm so grateful for his life, the light. Come on, just let's lift our voices and talk to him for a moment. Just worship him in whatever way you can. Just have your own conversation and tell him how thankful you are that he entered your world. Lord, thank you. Lord, thank you, thank you. Thank you that you broke into my darkness. You broke into my I was such a lost and broken person. Thank you. Thank you for your word that came in and revealed and opened up our eyes, oh God. Thank you, Jesus, that your promise, you were promised long ago, not just to your people Israel, but God, you were promised to us. Your promise to us to set us free. You came to set us free. You came to give us all those great things. Lord, to be our helper, to be our comforter, to be our redeemer. God, to provide justice and mercy. Lord, to carry us in times of difficulty, to give us joy. Oh, I'm so thankful for that. I'm so thankful that in the midst of grief and difficult circumstances, we can have joy. Thank you for setting us free. Come on, lift your voice. Are you excited? Are you grateful? God has set you free. Can we just clap him and thank him? Lord, thank you. Thank you for breaking into our darkness, the darkness. God, thank you. We're so grateful. Oh, we love you, Lord. You might be here this morning and you're like, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior. I don't know him in that way. Well, in just a moment, I'm going to pray a prayer, and you can know him in that way. You can know him in all those things that I spoke about just a little bit ago. Or maybe this morning you are feeling distant from God. You've had one foot in the things of the world and one foot kind of in the kingdom. You might even come to church every Sunday, but you just are like, go out and live for the devil during the week. No condemnation, but you can get right with God this morning. And maybe you just want to make sure the presence of the Lord is here this morning. And he's speaking to you. And he's talking to you and he's saying, let me into those dark places. He came to die. He was born as a baby, lived 33 and a half years, betrayed by a friend, all part of God's plan, suffered at the hands of men, received scourges and whippings to the point of not even being recognizable to the eye. Was crucified, and then 3 days later, he rose again so that we could have a brand new life, giving us a brand new life. And if that's you this morning, you want to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior for the very first time, maybe you want to make that recommitment. Just get on fire. You just say, I'm going to get on fire for God. And maybe you just want to make sure. Why don't you repeat this prayer after me today? Say, with everybody's head bowed and people praying today, to say, Dear Heavenly Father, I believe you sent Jesus to die for my sin. I believe that he rose again so I could have eternal life. I ask you to forgive me of my sin and for every single thing I've done wrong. Wash and cleanse me now. I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. Help me to live for you. Give me a hunger for your word and fill me with your spirit. Just lift your hands up to the Lord and receive a fresh touch of the Spirit this morning. Lord, I pray for these. Lord, that have prayed this prayer maybe for the very first time. Those that recommitted their lives today and just made sure. Lord, I pray for your power to come upon them. I pray you would fill those even for the very first time with your Spirit this morning. All over this auditorium, would you just touch and encourage your people? We thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you did today. Thank you for your word, oh God, even. Lamp unto our feet, light upon our path, showing us the way. And we give you glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.